Our New Testament reading today comes from the Epistle of 1 John, chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. This epistle, and especially this passage, is a reminder of God's love for us. God, who is love, commands us not only to love God, but also to love others. In this passage, we hear the command to love and reasons to love. Hear now these words from 1 John. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for others. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in deed and truth. By this we shall know that we are the truth, and reassure our hearts before him, whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who keep his commandments abide in him, and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit which he has given us. May God add a blessing to this reading of Holy Scripture. Amen. I invite you to pray with me and for me as I bring this message. Creator God, Son of love, Spirit divine, I ask you to come and move within all of us, be in my lips, and in my being, be in our hearts and minds as we receive this message, and may it be to your glory. Amen. I listen to a lot of Christian contemporary music, and one of my favorite artists since about 1991 is Stephen Curtis Chapman, who has a song, It's All About Love. One of the verses goes, everything else comes down to this. Nothing else higher on the list than this. It's all about love. This song expresses what I think is God's message to the world, that it's all about love. And this message is rooted deep in my soul and appears in this scripture text. It's all about love. Love is not only the theme of this scripture, it's the theme of the whole book of 1 John. And truth be known, this idea that we love because God first loved us, in my opinion, in my belief, is an apt summary of the theology of the entire New Testament. So it is ironic that as I begin to bring a message on the last Sunday as your intern, that the scripture text is about love. The Bible gives me the words. It says, since God is love, we love others. Furthermore, God's gift of love empowers us to love others, to love God, and to love ourselves. Loving is a commandment that comes right from this scripture, right from verse 23, which says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Now, scholars don't know who wrote these words. They often just call him the elder. But they surmise that this was written from a Christian teacher to a group of Christians that we would today call a church. So it's basically a letter from a spiritual leader to a church in a setting in which there was a theological problem in the church. There was a schism, if you will. Some of the members didn't believe what other members believed, and so they left the church. and started proclaiming what they believed about Jesus, which happened to differ from what this writer believed. Now that triggered in this writer's mind the gospel warning about false prophets who would be happening about the time of the end times. So believing that the end of the world was near, this writer was writing to these Christians to urge them to stay fast to what they believe and to work hard at imitating the love of Christ so that they could be confident when Christ returned in about the second century. So you might ask, is this scripture still relevant today? Especially for people who don't believe that the end is just around the corner? Well, I believe that it is. I believe it is relevant because this scripture gives us many relevant reasons to love. For instance, we can hang our hats on the fact that the Bible tells us to love. We are commanded to love. But another reason to love in this church might be because that's part of our covenant. When you become members of this church, you commit yourselves to treat each other with love and understanding. How do we treat each other with love and understanding? We simply love. We turn the noun love into the verb love. We love each other. And when we say each other, I would hope that we would include others. Others who aren't in these pews, who haven't owned our covenant, who are outside of these walls, but in the family of God, within the mind and the heart of God. I hope that we don't just love each other, that we love others. And we do that how? Not with words and speech, but with actions. We love with our actions. Now, this is not romance that we're talking about. This is not a feeling of amorous love. This is love by action. In his book, The Road Less Traveled, M. Scott Peck says, genuine love is volitional rather than emotional. The person who truly loves does so because of a decision to love. This person has made a commitment to being loving whether or not they feel loving. So we decide to love with our actions. This certainly has been my experience of the love in this church. You have loved me with your actions since the very first Sunday. You have welcomed me in and honored and affirmed my ministry. I have been honored and privileged to receive your hospitality. In fact, I've spent at least 2 nights in 6 different homes in this church. I have been a recipient of your hospitality. Some of you, a few of you, have welcomed me into your homes as part of pastoral visits. The youth have accepted me as an adult leader. You have included me in your service projects of food to St. Vincent's and the rescue mission of Milwaukee. A few of you tolerated my card playing at game night. And the administrative council literally made room at the table for me as I observed their decision-making process. You have showed me that this church loves by action. So I know that there's love in this church because I have experienced it. You have followed the commands of Scripture and the commitments of your membership to share love with others. But those are external sources. Why do we love? We can say we love because of those external sources. But for some of us, that's not enough. That's an insufficient compulsion. It's like a parent who's saying, clean your room or eat your broccoli. We want to know why. Why should we do this? The external commands aren't enough. We need an internal command. So why do we love? For me, the biggest reason comes later in this epistle when the writer says, we love because God first loved us. God loves us. God loves us and there's nothing we can do about it. God loves us just because we exist. And I believe that's wonderful. In this way, we love And when we love, we become imitators of God. So God loves us and gives us everything that we have. So if everything we have comes from God, then also our ability to love comes from God. How does God do that? Scripture says God abides within us. God lives in us. So not only does God give us the scriptural command to love others, but God also gives us the capacity to love by living within us and showing us how to love by first loving us. This love is powerful. This love erases our sins. Scripture says we know love by this, that Jesus, who is God, laid down His life for us. I don't know about you, but that makes me want to love God. That's an awesome experience, that God so loved us even before we were born, that God chose to come and become human, take on our frailties so that we might be lifted up. That to me deserves praise. And so that is the internal command that motivates me to love God. And when I love God, I start loving others, because I can start looking at others and myself the way that God looks at us, as people of sacred worth. And if there are people of sacred worth, then certainly they deserve our love. So God's gift of love empowers us to love God and to love ourselves and to love others. So how do we do that? Well, as I said before, you can love with hospitality in deed and action. But we can also love with our time, our talents, our gifts. For instance, when we send a mission trip to Mexico or Mississippi, we are loving. When our youth and our children write letters to pen pals in foreign countries, we are showing our love. When your Board of Benevolence tithes from your tithe to various projects, we are showing that God, who lives within us, is giving us the capacity to love others. But we can also go beyond the church. We can love others outside of these walls and extend the church. And yet another way that we can love is what we're doing right now. We can worship. Worship demonstrates a love for God, reflects back to God the love that God has given us. This reminds me of a story from my first Sunday here. I had a very piercing comment, a question really, from a young person in this church. I was talking with some adults towards the end of the coffee hour between services, and this young person, whom I don't think I had ever met, was waiting for them to take him to brunch. And my host said to me, "Well, we're going to go to brunch and you need to get back to worship." And the young person looked at me and said, "Why? Didn't you just come from there?" Okay, my first Sunday here, and he wants to know why anybody would want to worship more than once in a week. Youth have a way of being brutally authentic like that. And I said, "Because I'm a minister. That's what I do." And then we started talking about how worship might be more enjoyable for him. That answer may have been okay for the moment, but it was piercing in that what he was really asking was not, why would I go to worship, but why should he go to worship? Beyond the commands of Scripture and his parents that were external, why should he want to go to worship? Well, I've toyed with that idea for a long time. And in studying this Scripture, I discovered, or better, remembered the reason why we worship. We worship because it's all about love. In worship, we show our love for God, our love for each other, and really, our love for ourselves, that we accept God's grace and others' hospitality for us. I I didn't want to leave him with just that answer. Because if the answer was, you go to worship because it's your job, what do you do with people who don't go to worship because it's their job? I don't come to worship just because I'm getting paid. I come to worship because of love. So for the past 9 months, you and I have been experiencing this love together. We have been experiencing the love of God, sharing it with each other, and in essence, multiplying the love. God shows it to us, and we show it to each other. I have experienced love from you. I hope you have experienced some love from me. I will take that love with me back to South Dakota. I'm sorry I can't tell you exactly where I'm going. I have agreed to accept the appointment that they have given me, but it has not yet been fixed. I have an introduction, they call it. It's not an interview, it's more of an introduction scheduled for May 23rd. And so when that all goes well, I will be placed in a church. But until that goes well, I'm really not supposed to say. So just know that I will be going back to a church in my home state of South Dakota. And I will take the love that you shared with me, and hopefully you will take some of the love that God shares with you, with each other, and outside of these walls. I hope that you take the love of God into the workplace. I hope it makes a difference that you're a Christian in the workplace. I hope you take the love of God out into the streets and into society so that we can transform society by the love that God has for us. By working together, by each one sharing and reflecting God's love, we can fulfill the commandments of Scripture and the commitments of our membership, but also we can feed the internal need that God has placed within us by living in us and demonstrating how to love by first loving us. So as you begin another week in secular society, and as I say goodbye, I say go with God. Go with the God of love. And remember, it's all about love. Amen.